Through wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Proverbs 24:3-4. Bishop Patrick Bruce is a seasoned minister of the gospel, bringing decades of experience in pastoral and administrative leadership. He is a man of great wisdom, humility, and faith. He is the senior pastor of Grace Cathedral, a thriving community church under the Dag Heward Mills Ministries, located in Apramasi in Kumasi, Ghana. Now, let's hear him.
This morning, we are talking about the work of God. The work of God. And what Reverend Williams said was quite a good summary. But there's just one key point that you must write in capital letters. Do you know secondary school writing notes? Some points are very special points. You write them in capital letters because they are the main point of everything. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, thank you for this morning, this gathering here in your presence. I pray, oh God, that your presence will be felt, known and felt here in this house, in this room, and that your blessings that follow your presence will be our portion. Let no one here go home unaffected. Let no one here be left the same as they came, and transform us to become more and more like Jesus. Thank you so very, very much. In Jesus' name, and all the saints said, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Write in capital letters. Serving God is a privilege, not a sacrifice. Write in capital letters. If you like, you know, you can go over and make it bold. You can go over and make it bold. Serving God is a privilege. It's a privilege. I hope my young people are writing notes. Say what you're writing. Yeah? Yes. Serving God is a privilege and not a sacrifice. There is sacrifice inside. There is, this one, not capital letters. It will deceive you. There is sacrifice inside. But that is not the main thing. There is sacrifice inside. You will be sacrificed by all means. Everything you sacrifice, even going to school. Or you don't see going to school as a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice. Going to school. Your head like sacrifice. You are making your future bright. You are saying sacrifice. If you like, stop school and see. Then you see that it's a sacrifice or not. It's a privilege. It's to be a university student. It's a privilege. Or, professor, am I not saying it well? It's a privilege. Or is it bother? Is it trouble? Is it parental harassment? Parents are worrying their children go to school for my sake. What is university? It's a privilege. Because there are many others trying to get in who didn't get in. And some qualify, they have even better grades than you, but they don't have money. And some have money, but no sense. So it's a very complicated thing, going to university. Amen. Amen. That's why, tell your neighbor, you are the next person to go to university. Tap somebody. Oh, you're not tap. If you're already there, don't say some. You are going to university sooner or later. Amen. 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 So this morning, we are talking about working for God. And I'm giving you just 4 points. Today is a very short preaching because I'm coming from Gambia. So it's a very short preaching. Rosemary, why are you laughing? Rosemary, be careful. Rosemary, be careful. Yes, then why you? I don't like your laugh, Rosemary. It's a very short message. Hallelujah. Pardon? Oh, thank you. Thank you, doctor.
Say it clearly so that she'll hear it from me.
Yes. So, the work of God. Yes. And you may be surprised. You know, so, okay, let me start. Number one, I gave it to you last week. It is not self-appointed. It is not self-appointed. Hebrews 5:7. But I'm giving it to you in the 5:4, sorry. I'm giving it to you the easy-to-read version. Now, this is King James. Give me the easy-to-read version. To be a high priest is an honor. Amen. Oh, I didn't hear your amen this morning. To be a high priest is an honor. No man takes this, chooses himself for this work. The person must be chosen. You know, when it comes to, people think that, but this one, pastor called me, somebody called me. No. John 6:44. No man can come to me except the Father, King James, which has sent me, draw him. Hallelujah. So coming to work for God, it is a great privilege. Amen. And it is God who has made it possible. It is amazing that many are called, but few are chosen. It is amazing that of all the 100,000 students on the university campus, just a few of them are proper Christians. Many have had the opportunity to hear the gospel preached in all the many different services on campus. If it was so easy, more of them should have been Christians by now. Yeah. You have not thought about it. If it was so easy to be a Christian, you think being a Christian is easy? Hey, how many are struggling to be a Christian? Let's be honest. Because your bad things and your laziness and your other desires, once in a while they creep up. Once in a while, you look at some picture of a country, you say, if I can get to go to Belgium or Germany, if I get, I'll go, pa. And then, you too. I left Canada out deliberately. Because I know you say amen. Yeah. That's why I left it out. No, but you see, it's not automatical. Many have heard the gospel just as you have. Like Hebrews 4:2. But they are not here. They are not here. And somehow you have responded to this gospel. Somehow you have been able to overcome all the issues, all the things that hold you back. Hey, Auntie Joyce. Good morning. Somehow you have been able to come to be in this place. You are privileged. Amen. 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 I said, look, it's not that it's a bother. If it was a bother, you see, in the world, cheap things and poor things, there are many. And the expensive things and the good things, there are few. True or not true? If you like, leave and go and see. What is there? Is it more or less than what is here? Those who are outside and those who are in church, who are more? Those who are outside. So which is cheaper? Which is inferior? Which is low quality? Where do you want to be? Be careful. Clap for yourself this morning. Yeah. You see, recently I heard a message somebody preached about the broad way and the narrow way. And he said, because of democracy and because of peer pressure and because of not wanting to be to stand out, we tend to follow the crowd. But the crowd is not a good place to be. The crowd is often heading into chaos, confusion, Most mobs that you see, group action, they're not correct. So it is a very good thing to be separated. Amen. It's a good thing that you have been called out from all the young people to only five of you. Come and dance. You say, oh, they are worrying us. They say we should come for rehearsal Saturday. They say that Saturday afternoon, doctor, you know, I should be playing games. I should come here. Rather, you are honored to come and stand here in front of the stage and have all of us clapping for you. What a blessing. And listen, from here, do you know your next stop? YouTube and TikTok and where else? Snapchat. I don't know where. The whole world. You'll be amazed that somebody in America is watching you. You can clap for yourself now. Amen. So tell somebody, I am honored. Oh, yeah, you didn't say well. Tell somebody, I am honored to be here. Tell them it's a privilege to do what I'm doing. Put your hands together this morning. Number two, it's an honor. The mere idea of not only that you have been selected out from among many, but it's an honor. Amen. An honor is what's an honor? Is something honorable. Or it's not. Yeah, an honor is something that is worthy of respect and something which is not to be held lightly. An honor is something which, when you see it, you should see it as something many people want, but you are the one who got it. Hallelujah. That's why all those who are getting first class and those things, hey, everybody wants it, but not everybody gets it. Out of a class of 100, how many get first class? 10%. 10% get first class. It's not, 10%, that's the tithe. Hey, the tithe you are struggling to do. That is it. It's not an easy thing. It's an honor. Psalm 65. Blessed, verse 4. Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causes him to approach. Hallelujah. Amen. That means to approach, to come close to the altar. This is an altar. To use a stage. It's not a stage. It's an altar. We don't have altars in that sense of the word. So for us, this is our altar. So as you're coming here, tell somebody be careful. Oh, tell somebody be careful as you're coming up here. You can't just walk up here like that. But that is it. To come up here, you have been chosen and allowed to come close. Yeah, it is an amazing thing that we are seeing in this generation, that a lot of people cannot see it that way. They see it as you have called me and you are worrying me and you are giving me work to do for you. You want me to come and entertain you in church with my dancing and entertain you with Grace Gospel Choir. I should come and sing and dance. And who am I, instrumentalist? I should come and play for you to enjoy. No, you are not playing for me to enjoy. You are honored to be. So he said, oh, I'm the only one who can play. That's why I'm the one playing. If you like, die and see. Somebody will rise up and just play. Just like that. It's amazing. If you like that and see, you see even a smaller child, a children, will get up and start playing. Yeah, it's amazing. God, yeah, his ways are fantastical. So it's a great honor. Hallelujah. And he says, blessed, tell somebody, I am blessed to be a part of the working team. I remember our breakfast meeting when I came. And I saw the people who were breakfasting us. Hey, it was a wonderful breakfast. Those who didn't come. When is the next breakfast meeting? September. Oh, look, they breakfasted us. It was, and the people who were there, they should be very happy and humbly proud. They should be humbly proud that they did a good job. Clap for them. If not, humbly, don't let your head, check your head diameter. Check the head diameter. Your head shouldn't grow big. And then MC2 is sitting here. But it was, I mean, no. Because Charlie, not all people are able to have the chance to arrange something. Yeah. It's an honor. Amen. The greatest honor of being allowed to come close to God is as you come to Him, you meet others also drawn. And you will meet people of how should I say it? You will meet people of a caliber that in normal life you may never meet. You may never meet. Hallelujah. One Sunday many years ago, I was in my church at the pulpit, and my church was facing their side. Then I saw something. I saw two men sitting side by side, and they were laughing and they were chatting. And I said, what a wonder. Because one of them was my carpenter, who was doing my... It wasn't a good carpenter too. His work wasn't straight at all. But it's okay. He's a church member, so I always give him small jobs. One was my carpenter, and the other was the ABSA manager. I said, hey, sitting down side by side, just laughing. I said, where again will you see this? In church. Then I saw at the back two young ladies coming, and then an usher met them at their door. And then he just welcomed them in and told them, follow me to my seat, two seats. And as they were coming towards me, because I was facing the church, I saw the two girls behind the usher, they were laughing. You know how girls can be silly. Oh, it's not true. They were at the street like this. I could see them. And they were laughing. And I was just also laughing at them. Do you know why? Those two girls were students. And the usher was their lecturer. It was their lecturer. So as he was bringing them in, they were saying, look at that. Today we get on fire. Today he's serving us. Monday we'll get him, but today. But that, you see, are you listening? Most of us, by the way life is, you mix the people of your kind almost all the time. If you are a student, you mix with students. If you are a teacher or you are a civil servant, you mix with them almost always. That is how. That is how life is. But when it comes to the things of God, somehow God is able to mix things up. So you find yourself in a place where you don't belong. You are amazed. I was just talking to one pastor yesterday, and he said he was invited to a certain meeting. And when he got there, he was shocked. He was shocked because he saw the chief justice was there. Then he saw another minister was there. The MPs, they say, hey, what am I doing here? Tell somebody, hey, what are you doing here? You didn't say it well. Say, hey, what am I doing here? And those of you who are in a choir, and it's a professor, by you, hey, what am I doing here? What am I doing here? Don't say it's my father. Be careful. You know your father. He's a professor. He says, my father, so what? Be careful. Full professor. Reverend professor too. Say, tell somebody, hey, what am I doing here? Where did I sleep that I woke up to, I mean, okay, if I remove this lecture, which lecturer again do you know that you can go and shake his hand and say, Charlie, how? No, not at all. Amen. You're not listening to me. I said, amen. If you walk out of this place, you'll be amazed to find that you don't know anybody. You don't know anybody of any of any caliber. He has fallen the church. Of any level, you will find that If whatever you are, all your friends are like you. If you don't have a car, all your friends don't have a car. If you are taking taxi, all your friends are taking taxi. If you are one kind, all your friends are that kind. But it is as you come to be in the work of God, suddenly you are catapulted and you are taken to a place where you are among people who are very different from you. What a privilege to be walking among MPs. Amen.
I don't know. You're here. Are you hearing me?
It's an honor. Amen. And the reason why it is an honor, I'm coming to show. Look, from today, our word, our greeting here is, I am privileged to be here. I'm privileged to be here. When we are calling choir meeting, and the choir meeting, and the choir meets, the first thing is, we are happy to be here. If I don't say it and see. No, every meeting, every week when we come now, today, we are privileged to be here. And it is not that we are making a saying, but we are making you believe and know what you have and where you are standing. Because sometimes you have things and you don't know the value of what you have. Amen. Philippians 3:14. Point number 3 is a very high-ranking job. It's a high-ranking job to work for God. Amen. I press towards the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. It's a high calling. Hallelujah. I didn't hear amen. It's a high calling. Numbers 11 and verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me. I know you know this scripture, but you have missed a very important point in this thing all this time. Gather unto me 70 men. Those of you who have done posts, who are doing, sharing the burden of the, sharing the burden. You know the scripture, but you don't know this one. Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be what? Elders. And what? Officers. When you are allowed to be a basenta leader or a cell leader, what are you being made? We are saying you are an elder and you are an officer. An officer is a high-ranking position in the military or any place. Amen. And an elder, go to Pentecost, go to any of these other churches. An elder is somebody in high esteem and high regard. Hallelujah. So tell somebody, I am privileged to be allowed to work for God. I am being made an elder and an important person. Hallelujah. Oh, I didn't hear amen. One day, I was sitting in my office in my church. At that time, I was the only person. Then somebody knocked on their door. And I said, come in. Then a young man walked in. And I was checking him with my eye. And I said, I don't know him. I said, well, maybe he's a new church member or he's somebody who has come recently. But I didn't know him. So the guy came in. Then he said, oh, my name is Adam or something. He called a name. Then I said, yes, what can I do for you? He said, oh, he's applying to go to university. And he wants me to endorse his forms for him. And I said, hey. And the form to, it asks, how long have you known the person? 3 years or something years? They ask. So I took the forms and I said, Mr. Adam, are you a church member? And he said, no. So he was honest, unlike some people. Yeah. And then he said that I should endorse it for him. Then I said, look, it says, how long have I known you? And I don't know you. So this form you're bringing me to endorse, I can't. So the guy stood in front of me for he was just standing there in front of me for a long time. Just very quiet. I said, Adam, please, I'm sorry. I can't endorse it. I don't know you. You're not a church member that I can even vouch for. But you are just a stranger walking in. Then he just took his forms and turned. Then he went out and he was going. And as he was going, then the Holy Spirit asked me a question. Then said, this man, who else has he got? It says those who can endorse are a lawyer, a high-ranking civil servant, a military officer above the rank of major or colonel, and a judge. They were given all the positions who can endorse their form. And I said, this man going, does he know a lawyer? Does he know a judge? Does he know a high-ranking military officer? Does he know a headmaster? No. So as he's going, where is he going? He said, of all the list of people on that list, you are the only one he has access to. If you don't sign for him, he has nobody. I opened the door. I said, hey, Adam, come. Come back. Then he came back. Then I signed for him. From that day to today, I signed for anybody. I don't care at all. No. Because I came to see the honor and the respect and the high ranking position that being a pastor is in the world. Amen. We take it for granted that, oh, pastor. No. Do you know, just something just occurred to me. Because my friend is being divorced. He's going through a divorce. I married them. I did a marriage, but they are doing the divorce. And I said, look, he's telling me the divorce. No, they are finished now. They are divorced now. But the process of the divorcing, about 5 years of going to court, he said he has spent almost 80,000 cedis just trying to divorce. 80,000 cedis, and he has gone to court up and down. Hey, and it's been about 5 years of going to court. And then I said, look at that. What he's spending, I did it. I married them. I got up one day and I said, Mr. and Mrs., do you take, I take? Yeah, from today. Then I did the wedding ceremony. I am the one who did this thing, which is taking him 80,000 cedis and 5 years to undo. Wow. I'm powerful. No, to understand do you understand? Those few words that I said in the church service from today, those words, it takes a judge to undo those words. And you must have lawyers on both sides. And you see, we see pastors as the work of God is just another. No. It's in levels, but it's a very high-ranking position. Hallelujah. It's a very, and we don't see it. We don't see it as much. I remember Ghana at 50. I was sitting in my house. Then I got a letter from the regional minister. Come for the fireworks. I said, hey, me? He said, yes, you. Come. So I went, not Jubilee. In Tamale. At the park there by the police. It's called Jubilee Park. Oh, okay. After the police park. Okay, Jubilee. No, I was just brought there. And as I sat there, I look on my left, on my right, the MPs and all the people were there. And you see what it is. Maybe this morning, some of us haven't recognized it, but somebody has. Maybe you haven't seen it as important. You don't know that, somebody may not know who a doctor or a lawyer is because he's a villager. And to him, a doctor or a lawyer is just a name. After all, we call everybody chief, director, boss, master, lawyer, judge. So it's just a name we call people. But it is a very high-ranking position in life and in society. Amen. Amen. And in the same way, working for God to become a shepherd, a pastor, a reverend, whatever it is part of a very high-ranking position in the work of God, in life. Amen. And it is, because where you are now is not the end. When you are a shepherd, you're not a doctor. You are just a first-year medical student. What do you know? You don't know anything. I've just come to write a few exams of biology and chemistry. No. But given time, if you stay on that course, given time, you become somebody grown will salute and ask it for advice. Even though you are 22 or 23, you see that men who have grown up, men who have children themselves, who are older than you, they'll come and say, doctor, my hair, and doctor, my chest, and doctor, not because of anything, but because you stayed on a certain course that took you to a high level. And likewise, as a shepherd, or as even whatever you are doing in church, stay on that course. I didn't hear amen.
Amen.
Stay on that course, because on that course, it will take you to a place where suddenly you see grown men are greeting you, and grown men are saluting you, and grown men are asking you questions. Because serving God, working for God, is a great honor and a great privilege. Hallelujah. It's a great honor and a great privilege. We are young. No problem. You are young. Just work. You'll be amazed at how these little things open doors for us. Amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear a good amen.
Amen.
Tell somebody I'm honored to sit by you. Is that person serious? Is that person serious? Tell you, hey, you are honored. I'm also privileged because we belong to each other and God has brought us together. Amen. And when you see it as a privilege and as an honor, you will not take it lightly. You respect it. You will not take it as, oh, it no be anything. No, it be something. Tell somebody it be something. Oh, say it well. It be something. When we were in Gambia, and you know, I saw the respect, the atmosphere around the prophet, and I said, people, you see, sometimes because he's our pastor, you know, he's our pastor. So, and we say, oh, when he's there and he's standing somewhere, we just go and stand by him. And then, prophet, how today church, people didn't come. Today, my wife didn't mind me. I mean, people just, when he's standing there, we just gather around him. And then this is just to start talking to him. But, hey, when we came to this place, hey, the bodyguards, you couldn't get close to him. I said, hey, this is my father. Oh, you guys trying to stop me. I mean, you don't know what it is. Then it occurred to me that sometimes you forget the high rank of the position of the man of God. We forget it. We take it as normal. We take it as something which is, this is how it is. I mean, he's always available. Look, Reggie, the children can take you as, oh, is Uncle Reggie in the choir? Uncle Reggie here. Hey, go to UST. Go to the faculty and then go and say, Uncle Reggie, somebody will knock you there. And they say, hey, professor, you say what? Somebody will knock you. Because we and I know that I'm saying it well, but we familiarize things, simplify things, diminish things. We don't see it for its value. And then we say that after all, he's always here. If he's not here, cry. He wasn't here last, but then he's here again. He will come again next week. Oh, you relax, cry. But okay, he has traveled there, no problem. He will come again. Just wait. He will come again. No, you are missing the fact that you are allowed to get close to a very high person. You are allowed to get close. You are allowed to, the word is be familiar. You are allowed to be familiar. You are allowed to be able to say hi. Because when you go elsewhere, you can't say hi. You say, good morning, sir. You say, hello, prof. You greet in a certain way. But here, you can greet in a more informal, casual way. Amen.
Amen.
And at the same time, this, are you listening? This ability to be able to go to a high person, a doctor who's sitting here, a school proprietress, this ability to go to somebody who is high and talk to the person, it means something. That you too, by being here, have been elevated to a place where you can go to such a person. You too. Amen. That by being here, you too, just by being around, because in many other places, I mean, how many people can stop you and start chatting with you? No, at the hospital, they must call you, they'll call you, sir, or they'll do something for you. Hallelujah. Amen. It's an honor. Amen. It's a privilege. Yeah, to work for God. No, no, no. And look, I was talking to somebody yesterday. She said she's looking for a job. She has applied here, applied here, applied here. I said, hey, it's not easy to get a job. So when somebody has called you and offered you a position, it's a great honor. It's a privilege. Tell somebody, let nobody, no, hold your neighbor by the dress and shake the person. Hold the person, shake him. Yeah, and tell him, from today, let nobody ever struggle to make you. Oh, please hold the man behind you, Kevin. Hold him well. Hold him. Shake him. Ellie can't shake him like that. No, but you can shake him. Leave Adele and shake the man. Ah, you want to shake a girl? Leave the girl and shake. Shake the man. Pay attention to me. Pay attention to me. Listen. Tell somebody, from today, I forgot what I was going to say. Let no man, you know, I forgot it because of Kevin. No, but listen. Let it never be a struggle to get you to do anything in the house of God. Amen. Let it not be a discussion. Let it not be, it's like you are waiting for a chance to be asked. And sometimes they didn't ask you, but you are coming. The way somebody's applying for a job, don't be there saying that right now I'm waiting for them to ask me. You must come and say, I'm applying for a job. I need a job. I want to do something for God. For God. I want to do something. Where? Ask a neighbor. Name one important person you know. Name important person. Name. Don't know. Don't call John Mahama. You don't know him. No. Don't call Amaku Hini, our regional minister. You don't know him. If you know him, then call him. Name one important person that you know personally, your personal person, that you can walk and enter his room, chat with him, and then, you know me. I'm not part of the thing. Shake your, ask it, hold your neighbor, ask him, my sister, ask her, name one important person, the area assemblyman. Oh, who do you know? Who is the person that you know? And you'll be amazed that maybe outside our church surroundings, you don't know anybody. You don't know anybody. You may have met somebody, but you don't know him. And some of them too, they may be almost nice to you in official circumstances. But when you see them in private, they say, what do you want? What do you want here? Who are you? I'm your student. And so what? I'm busy. Clear off. Hey! You'll be amazed that you are nothing. You thought that they will see you as a co-fellow, a friend, or a co-worker. No. When you see them in private, they don't respect you. They say, oh, you are nothing. Hey, come. Take your lecture, student. Take your report, useless report. Come and see me. Go and do something better than this. Hey! You thought you were a good student. No. It's a privilege. Amen. I want you to, the way somebody's applying for a job, you to apply to do something for God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I didn't hear an amen. Amen. You too apply. Let there be nobody sitting here doing nothing. Let there be nobody who is here and is just here some. But let there be a certain recognition of the importance that suddenly I'm important. Amen. Amen. Stand up and face somebody and tell the person, I'm important. Oh, face somebody. Go to him and look at him face to face. Look, I'm important. Suddenly. Yeah. I mean, you are a student. You don't know anything. Say, no. I'm important. And tell the person, you are blessed to be sitting by me, to be talking to me. Do you know what I'll be in the future? Do you know where God will take me? Do you know what will happen to me? Do you know where I'm passing? I'll become. What a blessing. What a blessing that you can even look at me and shake my hand. Ah, you are lucky, Pa, that you are able to shake my hand this morning. Put your hands together for the Lord. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Some years ago, we were trying to buy land in Bantama. And you know, Bantama land, you can imagine, is complicated because there are chiefs and high powers involved. So we went to get some land. We're in the process, struggling. And sometimes people will sell the land, but then they will do other processes. Then we got some land. And while we're trying to get it, some confusion arose. And then we were forced to go to meet the chiefs over the land because somebody too on the other side was contending with us. And he is a local. And we are a church. So the local man seemed to have power at the palace. Not the main palace, the smaller palace. And he seemed to have power. And he was there shouting and that we have come, the land there, we should remove our things and come out and go away. And he was shouting there. So we went. Are you listening? We went for that meeting. I wasn't there. They went. This is before I came. And they met the chief. And when they were, the pastor at that time was Dr. Yali. Yeah. When they were talking, the man was shouting. Then the chief said, ah, you, I know you. And Dr. Yali said, I don't know where you know me. I don't remember meeting you. The man said, no, my son had an accident and he was dying. And I remember that they called a certain doctor who came and he saved my son. And he said that the doctor did very, very well to save my son. And I said, and you are the doctor. Wow. And they said, ah, yes, it's true. I remember that case, some accident case B that they called him. And he came last minute and he came and saved the boy. I mean, he actually saved the boy. When the chief saw that this is the man, case closed. Case closed. Ah, that's where our church is right now. You saved my son. The other man who was talking said, what do you want now? What do you want now? Because somebody has saved his son. That person has risen up very high in his estimation. One of the, and you see, that thing he did has made him a very important man in the eyes of the chief who was there. Look, when you are a shepherd, or you are a pastor, or you are any leader in the house of God, suddenly you are in a position to help somebody become a better person. Yeah, you are in a position where now your work is, whatever you are doing as the work, you are helping somebody who would have spoiled his life. Look, many people, if you leave them, they will become very useless and very bad. Many people, if they are allowed to take their own decisions, you'll be shocked at what they will choose. Like a child, choose what you want to eat. Chocolate, ice cream, Coca-Cola, popcorn, what again? Biscuits, and then more biscuit and toffee. A child would never choose a nutritious diet. Last week, I saw, how old is, last week, okay, I saw two parents. They had been arrested and were going to be sentenced to prison. And the prosecutor said, I am going to seek 25 years to life. Do you know their crime? Their son is 7 years old, 225 kilo weight pounds. BMI 74. A child, 7 years old. He's dead. He died. He died. BMI 74. 225 pounds. Yeah. 7 year old child. Eating by heart. No. His diet was fries. That's his diet. Fries. Look, tell somebody, when somebody is giving you good food, he's saving you and allowing you. Tell my neighbor, if I leave you, I don't know what will happen to you. And the daughter and his sister is 5 years old. BMI is 60 something. Five. The parents are not. They're going to prison. 25 years to life. Please tell your neighbor, if I leave you. Oh, you're not saying, hold your neighbor by the dress. If I leave you to do what you like, you will do something foolish. I know you. I know you. You will eat chocolate and ice cream. You will go and just sleep on Sunday morning. You will not come to church again. You'll be now looking for a reason to. I tell you about, I know you. Point at your neighbor. I know you. If I leave you. Hey, Barbara, point to Sophia. Tell her, I know you. If I leave you, you start chasing boys, or boys will start chasing you. Hey, tell her, if I leave you, before I'm aware, I want to be a footballer. I want to go and play in Dubai. I want to go to France. If I leave you, you come to a crazy decision. That's why I won't leave you. That's why I won't leave you. Amen. That's why I will be your shepherd. Hallelujah. I will be your shepherd. Oh, clap for yourself. I will be your shepherd. I will be with you. Hallelujah. What a privilege that because of you, somebody will do well. When we're in Gambia, we're standing there, then, you see, one of the things about this church is people disappear. You are in church with somebody, then suddenly, I've not seen you for 1 week, 2 weeks, it has disappeared. They just disappeared. When we went to Gambia, people who had disappeared, hey, they were there. Look, a young lady whose wedding was done in Cape Coast 14 years ago. Bishop Hodge went to Cape Coast, from Kumasi to Cape Coast, to officiate her wedding. Then he did the wedding. When he finished the wedding, she married a man, I think in Pentecost. After the wedding finished, they disappeared. Then Tuesday, when you arrive in Banjul, who do we see? The man and his wife and their five children. They have been here since 14 years. I said, so when they left Cape Coast, they came straight here and to join their church. Look, a shepherd is a very good person to help you take good decisions and do something good in your life. And that is why it is a high privilege. It's a very high privilege to be a shepherd. You are saving somebody. You are helping them.
and you are making them do good things. Oh, clap well. Yeah. You'll be amazed. You'll be amazed at the difference you will make in somebody's life. And finally, when you become a shepherd or a worker, one of the privileges of this is that you are opening the door for blessings in your family to the third and fourth generation. Hallelujah. You are opening the door for blessings in your family to the third and fourth generation. Because if you remember, when God called Moses, then Moses was, Genesis, Exodus chapter 4 and 5, when God called Moses and he was complaining and saying, I cannot talk. Then God said, okay, find your brother, Aaron. He's coming. Call him. So Moses called Aaron and Aaron joined him and they went. That's it. Now, down the road, when it comes to Numbers chapter 18, then you see God says something new. Now, to Aaron and your sons, it is no longer Aaron himself. It is Aaron and his sons. When God made Adam, he told Adam, replenish and fill the earth with all kinds of people. But then God destroyed everybody, and then he sent the flood and killed everybody. But he gave Noah a chance. He said Noah was upright, a perfect man, and upright in his generation. And God called Noah and said, build an ark and everything. Thereafter, when it was over, now it is Noah and his sons. Noah and his sons. Amen. Are you listening? Suddenly, it has changed from just Noah, one man that God called. It has gone down to now generations. One of the great blessings of working for God is that suddenly you are affected, and it is the blessings, are you listening? The blessing spreads not only you now, but you and your family. Suddenly there is a light in your whole family. So even those who are not as serious as you are, they are covered by the light that is on you. Amen. And it goes on and on to another generation. Hallelujah. God is a God who deals with generations to the third and the fourth generation. And sometimes you don't realize it. I was talking to, let me use two examples. One, marriage, two, school. In a house where nobody has ever gone to university before, it's very hard. It is extremely, you know, you will find all kinds of challenges, financial challenge, what school to choose, what course to choose, even where to go, even where to apply. It's a challenge because there's nobody there. But when one person is able to enter into university in that house, suddenly you bring lights and then you become the pioneer. And then now you have opened the way, and after you, many, many others can enter and become graduates and things. But in a house where there's no graduates, you find that the default setting is WASI graduates. It becomes almost normal. All of them, WASI or BEC, then they drop out because there's nobody higher. In the same way, in a house where nobody has had a white wedding, you find that all the sisters, they get pregnant and they born. That becomes the norm of the house. And the first son or the first daughter who wants a white wedding, do you know opposition? All kinds of opposition. Either from uncle, relative, Ebusa, paying, or the wizards and the witches. The day you set your wedding day, that day there'll be a funeral.
I mean, you'll be amazed that there'll be opposition from all around everything because there's no such thing in the house. And even your father who is in favor will have his uncle, his senior brother, putting pressure on him. Bring the money and let's do the funeral. It's amazing. But once, listen carefully, once one person is able to marry and do a white wedding, once one person is able to enter university and become a graduate, you have opened the door. And it is now far easier for all those after you to likewise enter in and go and do the same thing. It becomes so much easier. I mean, you find a house, all are graduates. There's a certain doctor in Nigeria, he's a lawyer. He has 5 daughters, all are lawyers. Yeah, and another man too. He has also 5 doctors, also daughters, all are doctors. Tell somebody, when one doctor enters your house, it's easy to get more doctors. So in the same way, when one shepherd or one worker for God enters your life, it opens the door for many, many others in your family to also know God and serve God. It becomes easy. But what we are looking at now is for that first person who is going to enter into the realm of the ministry, that first wedding or that first graduate, hey, that person, how he will suffer. That person will suffer. You will suffer opposition from wizards, witches, uncles, aunties, grandmothers. You will suffer from circumstances. That first person trying to enter into a new realm, he's called a pioneer. He will be amazed at good people opposing him. You'll be shocked at, I thought you were in favor of education. Yes, but this course is not a good course. What about this? It's not good. What about this? It's too bad. What about this? We don't have money. You'll be amazed. There will be opposition for the pioneer such that it will be easier to drop out and stay outside. It will be easier. You will have when you sit at the wedding, we have canceled it. Suddenly, all the uncles who were squeezing at you become your friend again. You'll be amazed. Or it's not true. Yeah, you'll be amazed when you just decide, okay, after all, she's pregnant. Let's just come and stay. Now get money to go and buy coal pots, get money. Suddenly, everybody's on your side now because no longer a white wedding. Just live together and let's just be in permanent cohabitation. And it becomes a very nice thing because there's a lot of opposition. You don't understand what I'm saying. There's opposition to be a pioneer, to break ground. And in the same way, when you are among the first in your family or your generation to serve God properly, to work in a church, to try and do something. And look, working in the church, even a church is like a country. There's too much work. There's so much work to be done here. I can give you a list. Come and see me later. But that, to work for God, you'll be amazed that it is so hard. And you, now they're calling you, come home. There's no time. There's work at home. Come and cook their food. Come and do your assignment. Hey, have you done your homework? You'll be amazed at how there'll be opposition to rise and serve God. But you must rise up and go over it. Because when you do, you are now opening a door for you yourself and your generations after you to now continue. Amen. After you, grandchildren, people are asking me, why are my children pastors? I don't know. I didn't make them pastors, but they became pastors somehow because, and it was easier for me because my mother was very active in her church. So it was easier for me. Yeah. But it became even easier for the third generation that they are all now pastors and serving God. But you, your house, I said your house, be careful. Because your house, you don't know what's happening. And maybe that's why God has brought you to a place where you can be the pioneer to enter in and be the one to bring light
of a certain kind into your whole house, that your house will change after you to be a new generation. After you, it will be different. It will be easy. We'll have pastors, we'll have shepherds, we'll have deacons, we'll have so many people in your house after you, because you came and did this thing. Put your hands together this morning. Oh, clap well. Tell somebody it's a great privilege. Stand up and tell somebody it's a great privilege to work for God. To be an usher, a technical person, a chorister, instrumentalist, a dancer. It's a great privilege. It's not a bother. It's not a problem. It's not an assignment. It's an honor and a privilege to work for God. Put your hands together this morning.
Thank you for listening. If you have been blessed by this message, please share it with someone who might also need to hear it. The Bible says, "The Lord gave the word, and great was the company that published it." To share a testimony or to request prayer, send us a message on WhatsApp to +2 332 059 112 75. God bless you.